Welcome to 12 Stone. We are so glad you chose to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. Now, Christmas time is deeply moving. It takes us back to the story of God's love for us. It takes us back to our childhood. It takes us back to family. It takes us back to stories like Christmas shows. For those of us who are older, I remember it starting on something like this. In fact, when I was a kid, we literally took tinfoil and put it on the antennas of the TV so that we could improve reception. That's how I watched the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer back in the late 60s. Anybody remember that? Yeah. And while the technology has improved, the meaning and the memory making, well, that remains powerful. Because those Christmas shows, they tap into something that's already deep inside us. And that thing is hope. It gives us like hope's anticipation, hope for better, and hope for home. And all three of those are woven already inside us. And God made it so that the original Christmas story would tap into hope. Hope is filled with anticipation. Hope is looking for better. Hope is longing for home, the place where we all belong. And so the classic living room at Christmas time, why, it's iconic. This is the place where we put up the tree. This is the place where we connect in relationship, family. This is a place where we read the story of Jesus. This is where we set up the nativity scene. Now, this is where we fill the stockings. This is where we sip hot chocolate. This is where we watch the Christmas classics. So we wanted to do a little something for kids, for adults, that would knit together Christmas traditions that are so meaningful to us and yet take us deeper into the Christmas story. So come on along and join me as we talk about all things Christmas, as if we bring the cameras into my own private living room and we have a conversation about Christmas. And let's get started with this old TV. Let's start with a few classics. Maybe this will jog your memory of Christmas hope.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season.
What is it you want, Barry?
Now, please, don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason.
You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
I'm the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Happy holiday!
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
All of those stories borrow from the original, the real Christmas story. As with Christ of Christmas, Merry Christmas is all about hope. First, hope's anticipation. No other holiday has such a long lead-up. Why? Because anticipation is a part of what makes Christmas special Anticipation is central to Christmas. Think about it. Christmas gets another day that's practically a holiday all its own. The day before, called Christmas Eve. In storybook form, it's become iconic. How many of you have ever read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas? Let's take a moment and get in that book and remember. This was one of our family's favorite stories. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes, there's that word, hope. Hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Soon. That's called anticipation. I knew that anticipation growing up in the winters of Michigan. That's when I found it hard to sleep as a kid on Christmas Eve, in hopes of this G.I. Joe Jeep with bazooka and searchlight. Still kind of stirs me emotionally. And that kind of anticipation dominated the original Christmas story. It was generations of anticipation. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the coming Messiah, our Savior. We find those in places like the book of Isaiah. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. A promise made 700 years before the birth of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah, anticipated by prophets and all of Israel. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, anticipated for hundreds of years. But hope is more than anticipation. Secondly, it's hope for better. Something deep inside us hopes for better, not just more, but better. We anticipate a job promotion, but what we really hope is that it will be better, more satisfying, make a better impact, provide a better life for ourselves, for our family. That we hope our fitness efforts will provide better health. We hope that our friendships will get better, that marriage will get better, that our relationship with the kids or our parents or siblings will get better. We hope that our recurring sense of aloneness will get better. We hope the emptiness that comes after the temporary high of the holidays will get better. Because we don't merely hope for more than we have now, we hope for better than we have now. And we endure the commercialization and chaos of Christmas, and we like being consumers a little bit, but after a while, just more of the same can get hollow. So real hope hopes for better. It's why things like Charlie Brown's Christmas endure. Linus answers the age-old question, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And we often translate Luke 2 into a scene like this. Many of us have one of these as a part of our Christmas decor in our homes. And this simple nativity set represents true hope. The promise that there is something deeper in all this Christmas stuff. That in fact, there is a better life. That things can change for the better. That we can change for the better. And when we see the transformation of the human heart, even in a Christmas show, it stirs something deep in us. You might remember this.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas humbug? Uncle, you don't mean that.
Merry Christmas. What reason have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be so dismal? You're rich enough.
What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not a penny richer.
You will be haunted by three spirits. I'd rather not.
To Mr. Scrooge, the founder of our feast.
I'll drink his health for your sake and the day's, not for his.
Are these the shadows of things that will be, or shadows of things that may be? No! I'm not the man I was! Spirit! Spirit, assure me that I may change these shadows you've shown me. Change them by an altered life! Spirit! Help me, Spirit!
I'm still here.
I'm still here!
Good morning, sir. And Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks to you, sir.
Happy holiday.
Uncle Scrooge. Well, bless my soul.
I've come to dinner. If you'll have me.
Oh, of course, Uncle. Welcome, welcome. Merry Christmas. This is my Uncle.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did all that he said he would, and more. And to our tiny Tim, who got well, Scrooge was like a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well.
We all smile a bit at Scrooge's transformation. Or maybe for some of you, it's the transformation of George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life.
Hey, George! George!
George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you.
Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
When we see George Bailey's heartache turn to joy, it moves us. Or who could forget our favorite holiday shut-in, the Grinch.
And he slithered and slunk with a smile most unpleasant around each new home, and he took every present. Then the Grinch heard a sound rising over the snow. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas,
he thought,
doesn't come from a star. Maybe Christmas, perhaps,
means a little bit more.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
What's happening to me? Toasty inside. And I'm leaking. Oh, Max.
I love you.
Okay, that makes us smile. But it moves us. Because who doesn't hope that we can change for the better? If it's possible for Scrooge or George or the Grinch to change, maybe we could too. And the true purpose of Jesus coming in the nativity scene was to come and change our hearts. As if the Christmas stories of Scrooge or George or the Grinch are merely shadows of the true work God intends to do. The very promise from Ezekiel 36. Let me read it for us. I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I'll put my spirit in you. So Jesus came to earth to give us a better life. As he said in John 10:10, I've come so that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. And true hope of change for the better doesn't have to be a fictional Christmas story. It can be your reality. And this better life is made possible by coming home. It's the third great truth about Christmas hope, the hope of home. Because we all know that Christmas is about coming home. Jake, our third child, is off at college 650 miles from home. And it won't feel like Christmas until he's home. Isn't that how it works for all of us? It doesn't feel like Christmas until so-and-so is home, until we all gather together. The allure of home is powerful. Maybe that's why something happens deep inside us when we hear a few verses like this.
I'll be home for Christmas. You
Home. Jesus came to earth to bring us home, back home to our Father in heaven. Now, many people in his day were confused about his purpose in coming to earth. And so he explained how we come back home to our Father in heaven through a story in Luke 15. And Jesus said, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger dismissed his father and left for a distant country. There he lived undisciplined and far from his father's values. He was wasting his life. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to struggle. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'I'm going to go back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' So he got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, the father saw him and ran to him, embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is home. He was given up for dead, and now he's alive, given up for lost, and now he is found.' And they began to celebrate." In this story, Jesus was telling us our story, an earthly story that applies to our spiritual relationship with God our Father. How we have treated our Heavenly Father, and yet how much our Father loves us. So we need to know three things. One, we left home. That's what it means when we sin. We dismiss God's ways and go our own way. Two, we got lost. We think sin is fun, a fun way of life, but in time we end up spiritually starving, empty in our soul. And like the son in Jesus' story, if we will come to our senses, then number three, we can come home. Our Heavenly Father misses us. He would forgive us and restore us if we just come to our senses, confess our sin, and come home. Jesus came to cover our sin debt and restores us to our home with God. And Christmas 2016 could be the year you come home. The day you admit that you have left your Father in heaven and gone your own way. The day you confess that you are spiritually lost, you are far from God, and you accept the invitation of your Heavenly Father to come home, to humble yourself, confess that you have sinned against Him. And though not worthy to be called His son or daughter, yet He sent Jesus to forgive your sin and restore you to your original home. You can come home and be reunited with your Heavenly Father. And God will change your heart. This is how you get God's better life. It's nothing we have done, it's what He has done for us. But we have to believe and receive. If we were to summarize all this in a prayer, it could look like this. Heavenly Father, I know that You love me, and I admit that I have gone my own way. But today I confess my sin. I ask You to forgive me by the sacrifice of Jesus and change my heart. Give me the hope of eternal life as today I come home to You. Thank You for this gift of Christmas. help me to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is just what one guy named Tom did. One Christmas, here at 12 Stone, Tom agreed to show up because his wife asked. And in time, Tom realized that he was far from God. He was lost and needed to come home to God, his Heavenly Father. And today, you'll have the same opportunity. We put ornaments on the Christmas tree that say, "Welcome home, Christmas 2016. This is for anyone today. And if God draws you to himself, you can join Tom in coming home. First, let's listen to Tom's story.
My name is Laura Bartigan, and this is my husband, Tom. When we first met, I asked him, you know, do you think that we ought to look at seeking out a church or finding a church since we're starting a relationship? He told me in no uncertain terms that he had had enough of church to last him a lifetime.
I just didn't have a place in my heart for religion or God, period. I mean, it's just, again, it's just the way it happened.
I had told Tom 2 years ago that the only thing I wanted for Christmas was to go to church. And he said, well, let's go. We walk into 12 Stone, we sit down for the Christmas service, and we cried.
God wants to do business with us. You're not here by accident. Maybe somebody invited you. However it is, you happen to be here with a family, a friend. Maybe you've been in church many times and you've never settled this with God. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church in so long you can't remember. Maybe God's been kind of awakening things in your spirit over the last many years or months or weeks. And you know in your soul, this is right and this is true.
And I had my eyes closed and I start hearing clapping. So I know that somebody's walking across the stage. And I ended up, I looked up and Tom was walking across the stage.
You know, this is my time. This is where I need to be and this is what I need to do. And I'm at that point in my travels here, if you will, that's what I need to do. And I remember telling her, I was like, man, I wish he'd stop talking. I'm ready to get up and do this, you know? And finally I just said, you know what? I'm just getting up and going. It's the simplest thing I ever did. You know, it really was. I would have never, all the other times that we were there and I saw all the different calls, you know, it was like, yeah, that's nice. You know, I was feeling something. I was actually getting a message. I was beginning to understand and learn what the Bible had to offer, what Jesus said, what God said, what the messages were.